taking testimony until the third member arrives. And our first public hearing will be Senate Bill 1305. And would you like to
Senate Bill 1305 requires foreign vessels to have a state license pilot on board when traveling within 3 miles of specified pilotage grounds. It creates notification requirements for foreign vessels that intend to travel within 3 miles of specified pilotage grounds. It also changes the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots membership, but there's been a dash one amendment that's offered up that removes the language that would change the board.
Okay. Mr. Hughes, Mr. Jerry Lewis, would you like to come? It's your bill. So.
Hello.
Thank you.
My name is Gary Lewin. I'm a Columbia River bar pilot, and I've been a Columbia River bar pilot since 1983. Previous to that, I was captain aboard a tanker, ferris tankers in the offshore and domestic trade. And I'm speaking for the Columbia River bar pilots, and we are seeking support of Senate Bill 1305 as amended -1.
And your amendment would take away the requirement for a new member to...
That's correct. When we initially designed this bill, we had consensus with all the pilot groups for that particular amendment, and that consensus is no longer available, so we don't see any sense in arguing that.
So exactly what would the bill, that you? Why do you need it?
So the bill now is designed, it was designed as a kind of proactive legislation to try to prevent future new careers. Or give us some more tools for preventing future new CARISA type of incidents by implementing certain reporting requirements so that we can better track vessels and we can provide responsive assistance to those vessels. For example, if a vessel's at anchor, let's say in a river, say in Astoria, and it drags anchor and it grows aground, it's certainly not catastrophic. It's an embarrassment. It costs money to tow the thing off the ground to tugboats. But when a vessel strikes bottom on the bar, either in Coos Bay, Columbia River, or along the coast of Oregon, you end up with a situation like the new CARISA. So you can have total loss of the vessel, loss of life, and a serious environmental impact. And we've been semi-aware that these incidents can happen. In fact, in 1986, we had almost an identical incident to the new CARISA. We had a foreign tramp vessel anchored offshore, off Searhart. She was not on our traffic list. We didn't even know she was out there. And a big squall came up. She started dragging toward the beach, exactly as the new CARISA did. The captain started calling for assistance. And we were fortunate at that time. We were undergoing a helicopter trial. We had a helicopter available. And we put a pilot on within 30 minutes, and he was able to maneuver the vessel out of harm's way, and he did bring her to the river and anchor her. So with the proper reporting procedures and with the helicopter that we're now using, I think we can prevent these types of incidents from happening, or at least assist in preventing them as much as possible. I do have some written testimony, and I just want to make a few comments, and then you can just read the written testimony at your leisure, which is basically the same thing. We do support the bill because it makes the ships report to us. We know where they are. We know as they're approaching. We know if they get in trouble, if we get somebody out there. We've established contact, and that's extremely important. And likewise, any ship that gets in trouble up and down the entire coastline, we can service quite rapidly with a helicopter if necessary. So that's why we support the bill.
Do you have questions?
Have you pushed any estimates of what this will cost ship owners?
Yeah, we have, and the way we look at it, the typical pilot transfers will cost them approximately what it would cost them if we build a new pilot vessel and have it properly crewed. There won't be any different, won't be any extreme cost. There has been a cost increase, a fairly substantial one, but that's because the future operators have had a cost discount for quite a few years because we have had no new equipment for 25 years. We need equipment to get the work on. So the helicopter as we conceive it working, will cost about the same as a large station pilot vessel properly crewed.
So basically what happened, the pilot would be flown to the ship. I noticed that the new Carissa had a pad on it. Do all ships now have pads?
No.
Okay.
No. I just returned from South Africa. It's going a little jet lag here. And in Durban and in Richards Bay, Port Richards Bay, they use the helicopter exclusively for pilot transfer. And they work about 4,000 ships, 4,100 ships, about the same we do in the river here in Richards Bay. And Durban's quite a busy port. They work many 33 ships a day. And the pilots flown out in these winch down. And we did this for 4 months during our helicopter test. And that's how we were able to actually put a pilot aboard the new Leotis, the ship that was dragging into Gearhart. We winched them down on the line. So it was kind of a horse collar arrangement. It's fast. It takes about 6 minutes to get a pilot out there in an emergency off the bar. Or even if there were an emergency in Coos Bay or Grays Harbor, we could get somebody up there within probably 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
Why she's waiting, I'll have to follow up.
Sure.
Go ahead. Okay, a good friend of mine says that this is one of the, particularly coming into Columbia, is one of the most dangerous entrants. Right now, on the Columbia, do we meet them for a certain distance to sea, or do they actually come in through the bar and then we pick them up?
We meet them about 6 miles out at sea.
Okay.
We try to get outside the plume of the river and outside the dramatic effect of the current hitting the incoming swells, and that accentuates the height of the swells.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to get beyond that, out into the smoothest ocean we can find. That's sometimes problematic because there is congestion and everybody's heading for that same point.
Right.
We feel, for instance, with the helicopter, we can avoid those congestions because we don't need to board them at that particular point. So we think as a safety issue, it's an important one.
Could I do one more follow-up?
Sure.
So basically, the new cost would be, for example, at Coos Bay.
We're not the Coos Bay pilots, we're the bar pilots, and we would make the helicopter available under kind of an emergency situation, as was the new Carissa, to Coos Bay. That cost would probably be an hourly cost. I don't know what it would be. It would be above and beyond a pilot's cost, for sure. It would be an expensive cost for one vessel, but to save that vessel is probably a very cheap cost.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I do have some written testimony I can read.
Then just submit it to Jerry. Okay. Jim Townley. Okay. And Rob Beather.
Thank you, Chair Shannon. Members of the committee, my name is Rob Douglas, representing the Columbia River Steamship Operators Association. With me today is the Executive Director of the Steamship Operators, Jim Townley. Jim also is a former captain of the port for the Coast Guard for the state of Oregon. We are here in opposition to Senate Bill 1305. As you may be aware, there is a similar bill on the House side. Action on that bill has been deferred, awaiting report from the governor's task force that he appointed on the new Carissa. We would ask the same consideration on the Senate side. Executive Director Townley is with me today to talk about the bill in more specifics, and he can also talk about the new Carissa incident, if you wish.
I just want to say sometime I'd like to have a full hearing on just what happened, what we could do differently.
Come down to my committee soon.
Yeah. Okay, I'm on it. Great. Okay, you want to go ahead?
Yes, I'm Jim Townley, Executive Director of the Columbia River Steamship Operators Association, and would be happy to participate in any fashion with respect to the new Carissa. As a side note, on behalf of the Maritime Fire Safety Association, I and a few other people have spent quite a bit of time debriefing most of the principal players in that incident, so I think we have a pretty good profile on what had occurred within that. I'm echoing what Rob Douglas has said with respect to the fact that the House bill is currently on hold with respect to the findings of the task force. And with respect to Senate Bill 1305, in representing the industry, I'm not really certain what the impacts are on this. Our concern is more unintended consequences. And I say that in the sense that the power to decide when pilots are to be called and brought aboard vessels is already a matter of the way the art of pilot embarkation and disembarkation works. The rules can be changed at any time by the Board of Maritime Pilots. And in the case of the new Carissa, speaking specifically to that, the vessel's arrival at the port of Coos Bay was known days before it arrived. A pilot was, in fact, requested on board more than 24 hours before the vessel went aground. The pilot reported to the captain of the vessel two things. One is, we think it's too rough to safely put a pilot on board, and the other part of that is that we really think it's too rough to bring the vessel in anyway, so let's wait until tomorrow. And that's pretty much the way it happened. So all that we're hearing about the requirements don't even apply to the new Carissa case. With respect to the helicopter, I would like to comment on that, because the pilot was put on board the next day with a helicopter that was chartered, and the new Carissa was almost safely gotten off, but we know that that didn't quite work out. But I want to point out that the Board of Maritime Pilots is on record with noting that a helicopter would have made absolutely no difference had it been available in the case of the new Carissa. And that's published in the Oregonian, so it's a matter of public record. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Did you have comment questions?
No, I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay, thank you. Yes?
I just wanted to say, maybe you should tell me what status the helicopter is now.
Well, the helicopter idea, as proposed by the Columbia River Bar pilots, has been approved by the Board of Maritime Pilots and will be funded by our industry for a two-year period to determine whether, in fact, there are economies and efficiencies and safety enhancements to be had by using a helicopter to put a pilot on or off a vessel. So there will be reports made to the board every 4 months to determine what the costs are, what the efficiencies are, and all that sort of thing. So by the time the legislation meets for the next biennium, I'm certain we'll have lots of good information to provide on whether a helicopter makes sense. Our interest in it, of course, is the fact that it's not going to draw more ships to the region, therefore the cost of the helicopter will have to be spread over the same customer base that we now enjoy. And the cost of the trial did result in a substantial increase in the rates for the two-year period for bar pilotage services.
Okay. How many new helicopters did the state receive from Sergeant Clinton? They didn't get a good deal. No, they didn't get a good deal for it. So far.
We sold them to Mexico.
Oh, we did. Oh, good. All right. Thank you. This closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 1305. And now I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2536-A. And before you go... Okay, Senator Fisher. Yeah. Senator Fisher, this is your bill, and thanks. We haven't moved anything. We're opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 2536. House Bill, excuse me. House Bill 2536. Do you want to explain it to me?
Sure.
Okay.
Chair Shannon, members of the committee, House Bill 2536A directs the state's Marine Board to establish a decibel rating and speed restrictions on Diamond Lake to allow recreational boating, not limited to fishing, until a certain, and then at a certain point once the lake is restored and restocked for fishing, that it will be turned back to its 10 mile per hour.
Okay, thank you, Senator Fisher.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. House Bill 2536A is a bill that has come about literally because of the inability of various regulatory agencies to make a determination that the fishing was in trouble on Diamond Lake and make adequate provisions to get rid of the sewage chub and restore that fishing before it became an absolute tragedy. And in the process, jeopardizing a tremendously many people have enjoyed for years, I'm, my memory serves me correct, that particular lodge up there was sold the most fishing permits in the state of any outlet in the state, and that is no longer even remotely close. This allows to have the speed limit raised so that water skiing could be utilized in the summer to help tide over and provide some extra income until such time as the lake's fishing is restored. I believe there's an amendment that is being proposed here today that would eliminate jet skis or the so-called personal watercraft from this recreational boating, which was a concern of some folks. I believe that they've also in this would allow the lake to be drawn down. Apparently there's some problem here on a process of drawing the lake down, which would be needed to treat it and being outlawed by a particular section of the area. And the provision in the bill doesn't require any legislative approval or anything else. When the fishing is restored, the ODF and W director can issue a proclamation immediately and cease the water skiing, put the speed limit back to the fishing limit, and excellent situation to allow at least some utilization of the lake more than is now being available because of fishing industry. And I'm going to not say anything further. We have some extra chair on each side of me. I have John Gervais, who's worked here on this process for a long, long time, and also Steve Koch, who is the operator.
Yeah, I have a question. What? So you're not opposing the dash 4A4 amendment? You don't. You haven't seen them?
Shannon, no.
You're not opposing them. Okay. Okay. Mr. Gervais.
Thank you, Chair Shannon. For the record, my name is John Gervais, representing Byron Lake Resort. I also with me is Steve Koch, the general manager of the resort. We worked together far too many years, starting back in the 60s. I would like to just go over some of the history of the problem, and then the Dash 4 amendments are amendments that were put together between the governor's staff and I in terms of concerns that they had to ameliorate any problems that they would have in supporting the bill.
Mr. Gervais?
Yes.
I just wanted to remind you that it probably will pass today, and we have a lot that we want to get covered.
Okay, I'll tell you what the amendments do.
Okay.
The amendments do, as the senator said, they take out the utilization of jet skis or personal watercraft, which can be more of an enforcement problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says that if a budget package, which is in the Fish and Wildlife Department discretionary budget portions, is approved by this body, this session, and the legal size trout are planted, that the speed limit increase will be delayed by 1 year.
Okay.
And if not, then it will go into effect on June 15th of this year and give them like a chance. They've lost 40 jobs already, and there's a lot of problems, a lot of hurt, and they would never like to become a water skiing lake, but this is the only hope for saving the resort. And
well, you had overwhelming support in the House, so I think it's good. Would you like to speak, Mr. Cook?
I very much said it all. Thank you very much.
You said it all. You lost 40 jobs. Okay. Okay.
Out of 100, out of 140, they lost 40.
Okay. Thanks. Yes, Senator Yee?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a question. Either one of you can answer my question. I want to know how long would it take for the lake to be cleaned and restocked for all the healthy fish?
Madam Chair, through the Chair, to Senator Yee, there's a person from ODFW that can probably answer that better than I. I'll just give you a quick sketch. They would begin probably in June of one summer and starting the drawdown. And
June of this summer?
Well, probably it'd be the next summer at the very, very earliest. they're not completing the environmental impact statement right now that has to be completed before this activity can take place. And this is a process that's used throughout the United States and was used in Diamond Lake in 1954. I wrote no name of it. The lake is very unique in that the center is the deepest place, so, and it's only 52 feet deep. So they draw it down, isolate it, then they use the rotenone, which is an organic material. That has a 48-hour life, so it doesn't get into the aquifer. And then the lake would be brought back up and replanted the next summer. Is that right, mm-hmm. Steve? So you'd have a period of from June till June, about a year. The lake is frozen over until about, well, more so this year than usual. Until about the middle of May, I suppose, every year. So you don't have a lot of water skiing unless they've got ice skates on the bottom of their skis or something in the early part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Another
question.
Yes.
So this is just a temporary activity during the period waiting for the fish to be restocked.
Sure, Shannon, yes, Senator Yee. It has a sunset in the bill that says as soon as the fish are restocked, then the speed limit reverts back to 10 miles an hour, which could make the resort owners happier. They like to be a family resort and a fishing resort. The resort can seat 600 people in the campgrounds. They can have around 10,000 people around the lake and like on July 4th, and campground usage is down. Forest Service records show 30-some-odd% also.
Madam Chair, just for clarity, can you tell us where is the sunset provision?
If I can find the bill, Madam Chair, for clarity, I'm not even very good at providing clarity at this point. Look at that portion of it. It says the, on page 2,
gross,
3CB. Yeah, I was going to say 3CB is the portion that sunsets it.
Line 14. Line 14, D.
So it's D.
Yes, D.
I have a question. I just read a news article. So what happened if it says illegally put in their chubs or something are eating up the trout, and so you're in the process of getting rid of these trout eaters, and so you think that it'll be restocked for rainbow trout, and then this water skiing will be gone.
Okay. I'm sure the some mm-hmm. 6-7 years ago, people brought in live bait, which is illegal throughout the state, and called chewy chub, and they're a very hardy trash fish. They're brought in from the outside. They're not native to Diamond Lake at all. And when they get fishing at the end of the day, they just dump the bucket of whatever they had left over into the lake. And over a period of time, those fish were better competitors than the trout and are taking over the habitat. And they're also, according to the environmental impact study, taking over habitat for the eagles and for frogs and other kind of species around the lake, and destroying the food source. And then there are planted about 400,000 fish a year in the lake for the fishing. Diamond Lake used to be the number one fishing lake in the state of Oregon, and about 65% California utilization of that. The small 3-inch fingerlings can't survive without the food source and can be cannibalized by some of the chub.
So they're getting rid of the chewy chub.
Chub, and replanting with rainbow trout.
And then we won't even need this.
Well, we certainly hope not. With the signs up and other things and try to keep people from using live bait and
okay.
Fishing.
Stay nearby. We'll have some more.
Yeah, the other amendments also need to be added.
Oh, there were two sets? The -3.
-3.
Okay. Sure. So here's something. Okay.
Nobody was aware, including ODFW, that that was a requirement, I guess.
Okay.
sent out, so I need to do that.
I think that's right. In my first statement, I got a little mixed up about what was in a different amendment.
Sure.
And I really spoke to the A3 mostly in that thing.
Have we talked to the man in the middle about this? How does it look?
The man in the middle.
To go.
Oh. the amendment stage four, the man in the middle. The amendment stage four, the man in the middle.
There he is. Okay. Nice to know that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bert, you support the dash four. Okay. Bert Young, Roger Lamas, and John Pardon. It looks like there's a Pete Wood, if you could squeeze in.
I don't have the dash four amendment.
Okay, I'll get it. I did.
Did she give it to everybody?
Did you give that?
Oh, okay.
Do we have the dash three?
Well, I haven't looked in here. Okay, go ahead. Whoever you want.
I'm John Pardon, Douglas County Sheriff.
Well, welcome.
And it's nice to be here, Madam Chair. I just wanted to, I'm for the bill. I'm not against the bill.
Thank you.
I wanted you to know about the demographics in the county of Douglas. We go from Winchester Bay up to and including Diamond Lake, and that's about a 150-mile run for us. So we have 22 deputies in the area. I think this is going to bring in more people, and I'm all for that. I'm not against that, but I want to make a statement that I only have one deputy sheriff in the area. He's funded partially by our department and the other part through the U.S. Forest Service. He does a good job up there, but I don't think that's going to be adequate if it brings in a bunch of more people. And I just want to make the statement that I don't have any more deputies. If this is put on us, it's an unfunded mandate. I know that we're going to have to take care of all the criminal in the area, and I just wanted to make...
Oh, yeah, question. What if all the fish come back and all the people come back anyways?
Hey, we wouldn't have a problem with that. I was there when they killed the fish the first time. I was with the state police after that, and it was a great situation to be in the late 50s and 60s. Lots of fish in the area. And
our family was kind of camping there once, too, and there were lots of people there.
Lots of people. Now, on the 4th of July, I think we have those campgrounds filled. It is a problem with drinking and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, last year, we had a real big problem, but we're working it out with the Forest Service this year, State Police, and the Marine Board, and ourselves to take care of that 4th of July situation. And Roger can talk to that. Roger Loomis is the sergeant.
Good afternoon. I'm Sergeant Roger Loomis, and I'm also with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and I'm also for this bill. I guess my concerns are with the patrol aspect and the law enforcement aspect of this particular issue. With more people, of course, comes more problems. Currently, there is just the one deputy signed up there. There is no Marine presence except on a part-time basis, and that's a hit-and-miss type of situation. I have two Marine deputies that work for me and covering from Winchester Bay clear up to Diamond Lake with all the rivers and reservoirs that we already have in Douglas County can be a problem. At one time when the speed limit was only 5 miles an hour, problems on the water were pretty much non-existent except the occasional speeder. You bring the water ski presence in there and you're talking faster, bigger boats and more people going faster on a lake. There may be a safety issue involved with there, and I would like to see more of a Marine presence up there, but I could say we are running short on funds, in which it's the two Marine deputies I currently have. It'd be pretty tough to stretch them even just to work a weekend or two every now and then up there with these.
Do you have a reserve deputy program like they have in Marion County?
We are trying to get that up and going again. We haven't had a whole lot of success with that particular aspect. We're just trying to keep our own deputies trained and up on things as it is right now.
My nephew is a reserve deputy, and he works on the Marine part up in the lake during the summer. They don't have you know, somebody there, as many all year round as they have in the summer, to the reserves on the weekend.
Yeah, we currently hire two part-time or summertime help to work with our Marine deputies. We generally run two-man boat crews for the safety of the other boaters, so we're not banging up somebody else's $30,000 boat. And also, officer safety issues are involved there.
When we were there, when there was no boating, the place was absolutely packed.
Yes.
And it would just seem that fewer people have boats than fishing poles, and that when the fish come back, you're going to have a real problem. This is a minor problem, or a little bit, but when the fish come back, then you'll really have a problem.
Yeah, we have a lot of, it may not seem like it, but we have a lot of water skiers in Douglas County. They fill up the Cooper Creek, is a very popular place. Moon Lake is commonly known as Lunatic Lake to a lot of us. And we have Ben Irving Reservoir, and all of those are pretty much stretched as far as decent places to water ski. If word gets out that, hey, there's another place we can go, especially when there's a campsite near a place where you can park your boat, that's a pretty big draw. And you know, with that many people coming in, it can lead to some type of problem as far as law enforcement is concerned.
Okay. Did you have something to add?
Yes. Madam Chairman and committee members, my name is Bert Young. I live in Roseburg, and I'm president of the Diamond Lake Homeowners Association, but I'm not here to represent them because we haven't taken a vote on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that there are some in favor and some opposed, but what I'm here for is to ask the committee to have the Marine Board put some money into law enforcement on the lake. As Roger mentioned, they have one deputy up there, but he's not on the water. Now, you mentioned a minute ago when we had good fishing, there'd be 150 to 200 boats on the lake. We had state police cadets out there on the lake in a boat, and they made their rounds, and everything seemed to be pretty well. Fishermen are not too too much trouble, but I would like to see that. I know Sheriff Pardon doesn't have that extra money in his budget for any Marine deputies for the 4 months that the bill calls for skiing. And oftentimes legislation is passed, but it puts a burden on an agency to fund it when they haven't got it in their budget. So that's my reason for being here, is asking that fund, get some money somewhere where we can get some law enforcement.
Senator Yee, are you on the Ways and Means Sub, is where the Marine Board is?
That's right.
Would you speak in favor of their situation down there?
Could we hear a response from Marine Board to see how they're going to fund?
Oh, here they're next. Okay.
How they're going to fund the contracting for the summer season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe there's increase in revenue in gas tax or boat gas tax. There's some money there.
You said you're Mr. Young, didn't you?
Yes.
And I called you Mr. Wood. I'm sorry. Okay, right, here he is. He's ready to speak.
My name is Steve Wood, and I am a Marine deputy with Douglas County, and that's part of my patrol area, along with the whole rest of the county. We do get funding from the Marine Board, and it from talking with the Marine Board, it sounds like they're going to work with us on this problem. But I would encourage some additional.
Okay. Encouragement.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
So are you saying that there wouldn't be any safety or life or public safety folks available to monitor this activity?
The problem we have is there's two patrols to cover the whole county, 5,000 square miles, and we can't be everywhere at the same time. So there's going to be a lot of times that we're not at Diamond Lake that we'll be on some other lake. So we can't cover it all the time. But we did, when the fishing was better, we had a seasonal person stationed at the lake. And he was there all the time. So it did make a difference.
So, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
So what concerns do you have about water skiing happening on this lake and you guys not being there? I mean, what are the potential risks that we're looking at?
That's the biggest concern, and it's 80 miles from Roseburg. Our closest patrol would be 80 miles out, which would take an hour and a half probably to get there.
if there was injuries and that type of thing that we would have to investigate.
If I may, the water ski...
Could you identify yourself?
I'm Roger Loomis, and the inherent nature of water skiing is a speed-oriented sport. Not only do you have the water skiers, but you have, for lack of a better term, a whole host of other water toys that are pulled behind boats that have faster speed, inner tubers, surfers, and things of that nature. Thing called a ski bob that they can shoot the inner tube you ride on. And when you get more boats on a particular area that are all doing, I think the speed limit's going to be 40, but most people are probably doing skiers of 30, 36 miles an hour, unless you have an occasional barefooter who's doing 40 miles an hour. I guess speed is the big issue here. When you get that many boats going that fast in one concentrated area, you have a noise problem for starters. Boats running at higher RPMs are a lot noisier than, you know, John Q. Fisherman with his 6-horsepower Johnson to make his boat go out there where he's going to go fishing. It's speed. Speed is the big issue, along with the alcohol problem that may be up there.
Do you have a follow-up?
If I could, Madam Chair, so is that the concern that some of the residents there have too? Is that basically, you said some people are for this, but there are some people who aren't, and so do they share those concerns? And even though we're talking about a short window of time here, I think we're only talking, 4 months or something like that? Even just a 4-month period of time, you have a concern about that time.
Well, of course, accidents can happen, but you said it was 80 miles?
80 miles.
Okay, is there any lake farther from,
There's Crater Lake that has flooded.
That would be the farthest place to you water, that you would monitor water skiing, water skiing?
Yes, I would be for the
Well, I know that when the fish come back, you're going to find a way for enforcement to be out there because there's too many people for you not to. I've been there. Something will change. You'll either have the cadets or the reserves or something because there's way too many people having too much fun to not have law enforcement. So whether it's fish or whether it's boat, it's going to change your life. And I hope that we'll talk to the Marine Board about helping these people.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask the sheriff, how many Marine Patrol officers do you think is necessary to maintain safety?
I would say that we would need another person on the water within the county. It would be a lot safer at that time. We couldn't be there 7 days a week, but we could be there 4 or 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. So I think what we need to hear from Marine Board is what kind of revenue do they increase in revenue do they anticipate from the more usage of the boats and the more income from the boat gas tax, and would that be sufficient to pay for one extra Marine Patrol officer for that 4-month period? Because if they receive enough revenue, they should be able to contract for either a summer temporary officer to take care of the job.
Okay, let's have, I have several bills who want to work today from the House. So let's have Wayne Schuler come up and stay nearby and we'll see how this goes. You're the man of the hour.
The Marine Board does not oppose the bill. In fact, we have been in discussion already with the major agencies with responsibility for our energy fleet to see that we can implement.
Could you have a question? I do not oppose the bill. Give a bad voice to the repeat.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, are you from the Marine Board?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, thank you. On the House side, the bill was in hearing. we did comment on the fact that there might be a concern for the level of law enforcement at the lake. Now, there's two different kinds of law enforcement. There's on the water and on the lake, and on the land. We contract for the portion that takes place on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, we support the county program sufficient for two full-time deputies and three seasonal positions and some additional hours as well. For the land side enforcement, say in the campground, that is a contract or an agreement with the U.S. Forest Service. When we sat down with the agencies, it was pretty much the consensus at the time that the greater need for enforcement under this bill would be in the campground, probably not on the water. And that's for a variety of reasons, if you want me to get into those.
No, but when the fish come back, they'll need that anyway.
They will.
That place is just swarming with people.
As far as our budget, it is approved. The next step that we go through is to contract with each county. So we don't know until this bill is passed what the needs of the county are, but we've already started that process. Since we don't know what's going to happen on the water, I think our position would be to wait and see what the actual impacts are from the bill, and then come back, say, at the e-board if we need to, and if the gas tax passes, there may be additional resources at that time for us to look at. Does that make sense?
Well, I know it's going to build bypasses and new roads and houses for the e-board. I think people, that's a lot of expectations.
We share the gas tax.
Okay.
Because of the fuel.
Okay, that gas tax on that one. And that's going to have an increase?
Yeah.
That is?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's not money that's currently approved in our budget. We don't have a limitation for that. So again, that would be an emergency board process.
Okay.
Oh, good, I'm here.
Yes.
When I said there would be increase in revenue, I'm not saying increase in possible gas tax. I'm saying increase in boating activities, and therefore you have an increase in revenue. But I'm not talking about increase in gas tax.
She's a no.
I understand, Chair Senator Yee.
Yes, I'm a no.
I understand that the name has a direct correlation between boating activities and our revenues. In fact, we've seen boat registrations start to decline in Oregon, and that's taken place over the last couple of years. That's because most of the boats are in the Portland area. And for whatever reason, because the urban population is different than the rest of the state, those people don't seem to be buying boats at the same rate, perhaps because they're coming from other states where they didn't boat. I don't know. But again, that revenue, if we did see additional revenue from additional boats being registered, that's a delayed revenue that wouldn't kick in until we actually collect that revenue and report it for the next budget cycle.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair.
Yes.
So, you have the revenue to pay for extra marine officers if necessary?
Madam Chair, Senator, our current approved appropriation for the next biennium is based on contracts which are estimated based on current levels and small increases. So it's linked to revenues and current contracts. We will certainly do whatever we can working with Douglas County to find an effective way to provide adequate patrols on Diamond Lake. We may ask other counties to help out on busy weekends. We may look for a Forest Service to contribute. Perhaps the homeowners would like to come up with some additional funds to take a contract for law enforcement services. The precedent for that is there at other lakes. Those are some of the ways that we'll look for ways to do it. We will work with
them. If you didn't think you could come up with the money, you would oppose the bill, right?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
That's correct. Okay. All right, thank you. Do you have more questions, Senator?
That's all.
That's all. Okay. There's no one else signed up. Senator Steele, can you first close the bill? Okay. Okay, then we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2536, and we'll open a work session on House Bill 2536. And we need to adopt the Dash 3 and Dash 4. So I'm moving, Senator.
I don't have this.
Okay. Well, I did. At one point in time. There you go, Senator.
And what does the Dash 3 do?
Well, 3 was the Marine Guards. And who requested the 3? Oh, the drawdown. They had to draw down the water. And 4 is the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went to talk to him. Mm-hmm. So they need to draw down. Okay.
So why do we need it in the statute to allow them to draw down?
Sure, explain that to us, somebody. She asked, why do we need it in the statute for the drawdown? There must be something that prevents it.
That doesn't.
Yeah, currently they're not allowed.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, that the ORS is written in such a way that they can't draw down a particular lake, and this provides for a waiving of that process so that this one instance could be taken care of.
Till the fish come back.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Well, it would just be the one drawdown prior to the actual rotten owning of the lake.
Sure.
Then once that process was over, why it would be expedient to fill it right back up again. So anyway, it would just be a one-time.
Okay.
It takes mm-hmm. a process of time to get that many gallons of water. That's a large lake. There's a lot of water there, and it has to be pumped out.
Yeah,
it's getting rid of that. So the pumps would have to operate mm-hmm. for some considerable time in order mm-hmm. to actually draw it down. But it's just a one-time operation.
Sure. Mm-hmm. To get rid of the bad fish and bring back the signals. Okay.
And what is Dash 4? Do you want to explain what
you know, you understand the Dash 4?
Dash 4 was limiting it to no personal watercraft or the jet skis, and also the fact that if they would plant it occasionally with catchable sized fish and also pass the money for the rote known that it would go ahead and remain a fishing lake and that it would delay a year in the actual doing the water scheme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And governor supports the amendment.
Yes, that is my understanding that it was that the governor's interest to see that in there. I guess all of our interests would be very happy to see that happen.
Sure. That's what it takes. We'll do it.
We don't want another bill for him to veto.
No. Too many. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'm going to put it on the record that Senator Yee said that and not me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, I move that the committee adopt House Bill 2536-A3. Dated April 26th.
Is there any objection? Without objection.
I move that we adopt Amendment Dash 4 to House Bill 2536.
Without, is there any objection? Without objection. We adopt it? Okay, do you want to move the bill?
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 2536 as amended be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion?
Madam Chair, I just have one question to the supporters of the bill. Are there any environmental groups that are concerned about this bill? That have weighed in on this bill at all?
Madam Chair, if I may, through the Chair, to Christine, I received a go-ahead from the Sierra Club just minutes before the hearing started with the amendments that we worked with the Governor on.
Thank you.
We haven't talked or haven't heard from every group, but those that tend to be involved in the building.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, I just want to say that this bill is passed with the understanding that the Marine Board will work with local officers to address the concern about safety patrol on the lake and on the land, and that will be taken care of by their working together.
Yes, good. Yeah, we have that on the record. Mm-hmm. Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The bill passes with a due pass to the floor with it, as amended, with a due pass recommendation.
Does it go to the Ways and Means?
I don't think so. Okay. Is that prior result? No. And Senator Fisher, would you carry the bill?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll close the work session on Health Bill 2536. Thank you.
The whole room is gone.
Okay, I am going to open up a work session on House Bill 3531-A. No one has signed up. Megan, will you explain the bill?
The Chair Shannon, members of the committee, House Bill 3531-A changes the appointing authority for the Director of the Transportation, for the Director of the Department of Transportation from the Transportation Commission to the Governor. And it specifies that the Director will serve at the pleasure of the Governor, and specifies that the Governor shall fix the salary of the Director and Deputy Directors. And it requires the Department of Transportation to establish an appeals process for persons affected by highway access decisions.
It does what? What's that last part?
On there. Yeah. It requires the Department of Transportation to establish an appeals process for persons affected by highway access.
Oh, I wonder where that is. I just want to say this is put forth by Representatives Montgomery and Lehman, and they had worked with the Governor on this. I don't know why. Is ODOT here? Yeah, do you have a position on the bill?
No.
And the Transportation Commission, they would be here if they opposed it too.
Yeah.
Right. And I think all the kinks really got worked out in the House. Let's see, what does it say about
that's
the
theory and the second change?
Okay, what does it say? Well, I that is a great amendment, because that's been one of the concerns of people that are having access problems, is there's no real appeals process, and no, that's why we had some other bills here. So I really support that amendment.
Is this a separate issue among the access issue?
No, it has a relating clause.
Changing
relating to the Department of Transportation.
Oh.
I checked that out myself, Manager. I think I heard some talking about this, and it just made it easier to give it, because the Governor kind of works with the Commission to pick somebody else, so a director anyway, and it just is kind of a good business. It's hard having five bosses.
Madam Chair, is this the first hearing for this bill?
This has passed the House, and it's the first hearing in the Senate.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
But
yes. Madam Chair, I'm kind of wondering, this thing about appealing access decisions, I mean, what does that have to do with whether the Director of Transportation is appointed by the Governor or the Commission? I guess I'm kind of wondering why that was stuck on to the end of this bill here. And I'm also wondering if there's a fiscal related to that. Is that going to...
You know, I've talked with ODOT about it, and they've already agreed to set up that procedure. And they said they can do it without a fiscal, because it's in another bill, too.
Okay.
There's no fiscal impact, because they have said that that is one of the... Do you want to talk about that? You know that much about the appeals? they can, here he is. Oh, Mr. Hideaway. I didn't see you there, Al. I'm sorry. Okay. You have a lot of information, although you're right away. And I don't know if you're the access expert.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Al Leitner. I'm with the Department of Transportation Right-of-Way. Yes, there is an appeal process that's being worked on. We worked on it this morning. It concerns several bills. Senate Bill 86 was the primary carrier of this. There's another related bill that Senator Bryant had. And then this clause here would also tie into that. We're working to get an administrative procedure process in place, get an appraisal process in place, get an arbitration process in place. And then, of course, under administrative procedure, you have the right of appeal. If all of that fails, so the Oregon Court of Appeals. So there's about three or four avenues to find relief and remedy that we're working to try to do.
But what brought this about is frustrated people said that really it was just going to go to court, and they wanted an appeals process instead of going to court over every decision.
Madam Chair, in 1992, I was going to be a hearings officer for a hearing that dealt with and access. So over those years, that process has been forgotten. I think that's just part of our institutional turnover. We had, once upon a time, had it. It needs to be brought back up and institutionalized in the department. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Did you hear what he said? Of course, in our Senator Ferriola came, he said in the past we had this process been forgotten, and we're in the process of bringing it back up.
And then, Madam Chair, what is the reason for wanting to change how the director is hired or appointed? Or
I just want to make this clear. They would, because of good business practice, I guess, because it's hard having five bosses. This way she answers to the governor and works with, or he or she, you know. But in no way would this mean that she would have to go through a new process. She's, you know, maintains her position. And I think it's just streamlining the process. I wish Mr. Representative Lehman and Montgomery were here to explain it to me, but there isn't. The people figuring this out, they all didn't think this was a good thing to do. I don't know. We had it advertised. I think that nobody opposes it. But I do want to answer your question about the relating clause, line 2 on page 1, relating to the Department of Transportation. And legally, if it relates, you can put it in, I guess.
That thing's on here.
So, okay.
This amendment was, Madam Chair, put in by the House.
I'm sure it was when there was all this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably made somebody feel good.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm a no on this bill because I feel the director would be more responsive if she is hired or fired by the commission. Would be a lot more responsive to the commission's direction because I have worked with commission whose director is appointed by the county commissioners, and the director is not a bit responsive to the commission on which I serve at one time. So
okay.
I believe, my own opinion is that the director should be hired or fired by the commission. So I'm a no vote on this bill.
Okay, how do you feel?
Well, I'm a no because no one's made the case for why we need to change, and I guess I feel concerned that, you know, I think we keep it non-political in terms of who gets the position by having the commission do it rather than the governor. I mean, right now I'm very comfortable with our current governor's philosophies about transportation and the policies that, you know, I agree with how he approaches the issues, but who knows who will be in the governor's seat in the future, and depending on, you know, who the next appointment would be, I think if we have a commission that does it, which is a nonpartisan group, I think it's a better process, and there's no one here making the case for why we need to change, so I'm a no.
Senator Castillo, in the FMS, it says here in the background, the third paragraph, all of the other agencies that the governor appoints and the Senate confirms, and every one of those commissioners were appointed by the governor, this philosophy still is reflected.
Madam Chair, but that's in, it has to be confirmed by the Senate. So there is a check, there is a, you know, there is a balance there on in terms of who says who gets on these commissions, and we've seen that evidence of that on appointments over the last few years that have become controversial because members of the Senate don't agree with the governor sometimes. So I think that it creates discussion for, you know, who ends up getting on these commissions. And so I think, I guess I don't feel really passionately strongly either way on this bill, except mm-hmm. that I feel like there's no one here making a strong case for why we need to change it. So I don't know
how long you've been in Oregon, Senator Curtio, but I will tell you when Senator Curtio was governor, there were more rejections, and it was much more contentious than it is now.
Well, that's what I mean, is that there is a...
Mm-hmm. But that's a check and balance.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so...
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Is Senator, what's his name? George, is he coming back? When? Okay. Well, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3531. Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, now I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1284. Would you tell us about Senate Bill 1284? Okay, go ahead.
There are some Dastry amendments to this that we have before you today, which allow the Legislative Committee on Transportation to review and make recommendations to the budget in lieu of the Committee on Ways and Means. And it also requires the committee to review state and local land use, environmental, and other laws, rules, and practices that affect the cost of highway construction, preservation, and maintenance during the interim between 1999 and 2001 session. And the purpose of this review is to identify changes in these areas that will result in a savings of $275 million.
We're on Senate Bill 1284, and I'll tell you a little bit of history about it.
Okay.
When Senator Castillo actually helped us put it together, a joint meeting with the legislators in Washington State on the House and Senate Transportation Committee, and they operate a little different than we do. They have a year-round transportation joint committee, and it seemed to work very well, and I think they meet like once a month when they're out of session. And Senator Dukes and I talked about this, and let me see, I see if her name is, oh, it's just mine, but I asked her on the floor if she's still supporting this bill, and she said, yes, I hope I get appointed to it. And so we have, I'm not sure if we talked about it in this committee or not, but we went to Legislative Council and asked for these amendments to be written up, and that's just exactly what it does, because it would be a consistent, and we would look at the budget, and it's kind of like a transportation overview, and I think it's a good idea. So that's what it is. We're just patterning ours after Washington State.
So this will make the same as Economic Development Committee, because that's a statutory committee.
Mm-hmm. I've never served on Economic Development, so I'm not sure what you mean.
Yes, it's mm-hmm. in the statute that mm-hmm. it is a joint committee, and it is all year round.
As a matter of fact, right, we had some transportation meetings with, I should go get Senator Brown and Senator Dukes came and asked me if I wanted to still support this one to move it, and then we had the amendments drawn up. Now, what's the date on? Yeah, these are the new amendments.
Okay.
So, that's about what we know about. Oh, it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine so, because then you have to allow for...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reading?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to allow for being full members.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, they can work that out in Ways and Means, and Senator Duke's down there, so it'll ever die.
Poor Ways and Means Committee has...
Poor those Ways and Means. Oh, you'll work through it. Okay, I'm going to close the public. Are there any more questions?
Yes. Who was the chair? There was some mention about land, that this committee would also do oversight of land use decisions.
Is that in the amendment?
The DAC3 was required for committee to review state and local land use, environmental, and other laws, rules and practices that affect the cost of highway construction and maintenance issues, look for some areas of savings. Is that maybe okay?
Yeah.
Those are DAC3 amendments?
Right.
Oh,
actually, it you needed a dash. I know what. I remember now.
Okay. I clicked on page 2.
If you see the dash 2 and the dash 1.
Dash 2 is combined in 2.
The dash, so we forget the 1 and start with the dash 2 and the dash 3.
You forget dash 1, dash 2. Dash 2 is included in the dash 3.
Okay, so all we need is a dash 3. Okay, Senator George, I'll tell you where we are.
Okay.
Remember when, I'm not sure, did you go with us up to Portland and meet with Washington State Transportation Committee?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, Washington State operates a little different. You know what? Tom McKellar was going to come and testify for this. And I don't see him. Anyway, maybe, they want us to get through the Senate bill, but we had to wait for these amendments. But if that joint oversight committee, the House and Senate, mm-hmm. work right. together, and we look for efficiencies, how they can,
sure.
okay?
Yeah.
And Senator Duke supports it. If we could find it, she'd come down, because we work together on the amendment.
Right.
Okay. And it has a referral for Ways and Means. Okay.
We have a fiscal impact number, Madam Chair.
Do we have one? A fiscal? I think they didn't, because it's going to Ways and Means.
Well, you think should have a fiscal impact.
Well, they should have a fiscal impact. And just the New York State, they didn't give any numbers.
Where is it? Oh, I see it. Yes? Okay. Right, they just made a statement.
It doesn't have a number?
No. Mm-mm. Okay. Well, this is the one that's the dash one, right? That meant that 80% no more money could go to other things, right? Okay. Okay. Are there any, do you want a minute to study it, Senator?
It doesn't mean an amount, does it?
No, an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, if the chair wants to send it to Ways and Means, I would support that, but I'm not sure how I'd vote in Ways and Means, because I don't know if we want to create more committees.
Well, that's fine with us. Let's just go down then, Laura, because we just barely got our amendments, and the president wants us to quit working Senate bill, so we'll just send it down there, okay?
Okay,
we close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1284. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1284. and I move the dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 1284. Is there any discussion?
Dash 3.
We're not going to do the 1 or 2. The 3 incorporates the 2.
I don't
The dash 3 is right.
You don't need the 2.
Oh.
You just need the dash 3.
And what does the dash 3 do?
The dash 3, the bill started out as something entirely different, Senator Yee. And this makes it, like I said, that oversight committee, a joint with the House and the Senate. That's what it does. Okay? Did you have any comment or question? We're in work session.
Actually, Madam Chair, I do. One thing that stuck out is the, let's see, it talks about requiring the committee, I guess it's the DAC 3 amendments, requiring the committee to review state and local land use, environmental, other laws, and then it goes on to say the purpose is to identify changes in these areas that would result in savings of $275 million per biennium. Where did the $275 million come from? How do we know there's $275 million of savings there? And
you know, Meg helped in our majority office, and I think that Senator Adams had asked ODOT to come up with a these savings, $200 million here and $200 there, and he dropped them with the goal that this committee might be able to do that, ODOT working with him. I think just to achieve one of his goals.
Okay.
Because that did not come from me.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. And does it say it's not a mandate, it's a goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I was not even asked.
Result.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could result, if you say
it would result. To identify changes in these areas that would result.
Well, and to answer that, I think that the director has already committed to him to find, you know, so many million savings here and there. They've already come up with a number.
If I could just clarify, it's less whether in the bill it is could. I'm sorry, I'll go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes it better. Okay. Because I thought it should have been a could. Yeah, the bill said could. Okay. Is there any more discussion?
Megan, do you have another copy of this, please?
Yeah. Okay, the clerk will call the roll. And this is a motion. Wait. Did we move it? No, this was just the dash 3. Is there any objection?
I object. I'm going to vote no.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll on the dash 3. Well, first we're adopting the dash 3. Okay. Did we already do that? Okay. No.
Okay.
Aye. Okay, the dash 3 amendment has been adopted. Yeah. And I move Senate Bill 1284 as amended to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
With a due
count. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's Senator Brown. Do you want us to interrupt and have you speak to this bill? Would you come and speak if I ask you to? I'll tell you what it is. It's that good, come forward. Please come up here and you can say, I don't know what you're talking about, Senator, if you want to. It's the bill that Joan, Senator Dukes and I were talking about working on, the joint interim, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, joint commission. Mm-hmm.
Joint committee.
Joint committee. Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you have a question?
Well, just to support it.
Senator Shannon, for the record, I'm Kate Brown, Senate District 7. I think it's a good idea, and we need to take a look at it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. It's just going the way you mean.
We can handle that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Now, is there any more discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
No.
All right. The bill passes and will be sent to Ways and Means with a due pass, as amended, with a due pass recommendation. Thank you. Okay. I need to get rid of the Senate bill. Oh, we did that. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 855. And I'll tell you what they're working on amendments, they're working in work groups, and I'd like to just move this to the rules so I don't have any rules, and I don't know if they're going to work it or not, but I want to get it out of our committee. And instead of asking for permission to hear it again, that's the, and we're in a work session.
So in Madam Chair, in this committee, they don't have to have permission to
hear. Nope, they don't have to have permission.
Okay. Well, it can't stay here.
It would, if it stayed here, it would die, and they're working with LC on amendments, and I just told them, it's that billboard one. And so, okay, wait, we're going to vote.
Okay.
We're in a work session, and I move Senate Bill 855 to rules. Is there any discussion?
This is the one, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that the Transportation Department had a whole list of all the different ways that it would affect Oregon's...
That was the original bill, Senator?
Uh-huh. It's been amended?
They're offering amendments. That bill is gone, what you're reading.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead.
She's correct. The Department of Education did offer this in the testimony.
What to the amendment?
Right.
Okay. Mr. Lightner.
Madam Chair, very quickly, Senator Castillo, yes, we did have problems with that bill as amended. We have problems with the amendment as proposed, and
okay,
we're trying to work through those. We have work groups.
We have a work group. Do you want to add to that, Mr. Barrows? Okay. Right. And if they can come to some agreement, then we'll work it. If they can't, I mean, they'll work it. If they can't, right.
Well, Mr. Lightner, do you know if the talks are trying to, are aimed at trying to help us not lose the $25 to $30 million per year in federal funds that you said were at risk if we do this?
Senator Shannon, Senator Castillo, I can guarantee you that I will do everything possible to not lose that money.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, they'll have to pay for it.
The right of way will be after them.
Oh, right. Okay. Thanks. Okay. The clerk, if they move that we send it to rules, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Castillo?
No.
Senator?
Aye.
Senator
Lewis? Aye. Senator Lewis? Madam Chair, this goes to rules with no recommendation.
No recommendation.
No recommendation.
No recommendation.
Aye.
All right. Okay. This having received a majority, yes. It's moved to rules with no recommendation. That's Senate Bill 855. Okay. Now, sir.
What group?
How long is it going to be done? Oh. Can I work one real quick?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sorry.
This is a quick one.
Okay. Okay. Here. Okay. Just, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to open a work session on Senate Bill 1124. And we heard this bill. It was Senator Neil Bryant had this concern, and then Athena's not here, but she had a concern about if we allowed these people to special road districts to have election, who was going to pay for them. And we decided if the county commissioners wanted them, then they would have to pay for them. And so
the amendment takes care of it, right?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, those amendments can be adopted. I learned something. If it says draft on it, we still could do it. Yeah,
we do it.
Yeah.
We do amendments.
We do have a draft amendment that allows them to appoint or elect them if they choose to elect the county pays for election.
Okay, what dash are they?
Dash 3.
Are yours dash 2 or 3?
Not very funny, no.
Yes, so those were draft. Okay. I move that we adopt the dash 3 amendments. That was conceptually what we'd agreed to at the last minute meeting anyway. And so, is there any objection?
That will take care of the election cost.
That's right.
The county government.
The county government that says they want the election, they have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's no opposition?
I move for the amendment. For
okay.
Adoption of the amendment.
Is there any objection?
Madam Chair, I do have a question. Does this make it optional that boards, the counties can choose to do this or not?
Yes.
They don't have to do
That's
this?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. It's optional. But if the county says, I want this problem out of my hair, they can elect their own, they pay for it. Okay?
Okay.
Right. Okay. Without objection, the dash threes are adopted. Okay. You want to move the bill as adopted, Senator Yee?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 1124, as amended, be passed to the floor with the pass recommendation.
Okay, any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Senator
Hill.
Aye.
Senator
Hill.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We'll have Senator Bryant carry it, and it passes to the floor as amended, which it just passed. And we have one more. And that is Senate Bill. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 609. Has anyone signed up? It's the covered division.
No.
Okay. You want to? Who's the sponsor? One of you, aren't you?
We both.
Okay. Will you explain this bill?
Let's put our needle on the table.
Okay.
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 No, it's 3091.
Okay, Senator.
I don't have 1305.
Well, 1305 is not the bill. We're doing 609.
Oh, 609.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me. Did I say the wrong?
Now, Madam Chair, is this the one that would take care of the non-vehicle carrying
digits, right? Mm-hmm. And does it have a referral to Ways and Means?
It should.
Yes, so that's all we're doing is sending it down there.
Do we have an amount stated in the bill?
Yes, $250,000.
$250,000.
Good.
That's peanuts.
Mm-hmm. We'll take care of a few cover bridges.
Yeah.
Well, I think cover bridges attract tourists and preserves our historic site, and this is a good bill.
It is a good bill.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Attracts tourists, and what did you go to second half?
And it preserves
historic
site.
Right. Okay. Is there
a precious historic site?
Did you move this bill to Ways and Means?
Madam Chair, I so moved.
With the DUPAS?
With the DUPAS recommendation.
Okay.
I just have one question, Madam Chair. How is this different from the other covered bridge bill that we had?
They were separate. Well, the one with for vehicle carrying bridges is going to be done by Transportation Department. And you do it at the rate of how much per biennium?
Yes, we would. Anytime you can help us.
Chair Shannon, members of the committee, Doug Tindall, Maintenance Engineer with the Oregon Department of Transportation. Chair Shannon, Senator Castillo, this bill differs from the previous bill in that this allocates non-highway fund money to the maintenance of covered bridges, which allows that money to be spent on non-vehicular carrying bridges. Constitutionally, we cannot spend highway fund money, so this gets the non-vehicular carrying bridges, which are actually probably in worse shape than the ones that carry vehicles.
I have a question for Doug. How much did you say was budgeted in Transportation Department budget for vehicle carrying covered bridges?
Chair Shannon, Senator Yee, $150,000, I believe, is what we agreed the budget note was going to be.
Yes, and we're going to put a budget note to that effect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we are taking care of both the vehicle carrying and non-vehicle carrying.
Right, if they do it down in Ways and Means.
And Senator Hammond said he will put a budget note in there.
Okay.
He's the chair of the committee.
Well,
good job, man.
He has the opportunity to. Okay, then Senator Yee has moved Senate Bill 609, is that it? Yeah.
Yes.
To the Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. Is there any more discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. The bill has passed, waiving the due pass, and I have closed the work session on Senate Bill 609. Is there any other business? Remember, we're meeting tomorrow night, and then we don't meet Friday.
Uh-huh.
And no meeting Monday.
Oh, no meeting Monday?
No, we're going to make it up.
And Thursday, the 13th.
Oh, we're going to do it Thursday night. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Friday? Oh, and, okay. Friday, Senate Ed isn't meeting, so we can move ours up to 1.
Oh.
So we can
get on meeting Friday.
No, the next.
Oh, the next.
The next.
Okay.
The following.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll be out by 3.
Okay. And no meeting next Monday.
Yes. There's no meeting next Monday. It'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Wednesday's regular time.
Thursday evening.
Thursday night, thanks. Friday.
At 1 p.m.
Oh, I see.
We'll send out a note.
Yeah.
We'll give you a reminder.
What time do we meet tomorrow night?
6 p.m.
Not 6:30.
Megan, could you send out
a note?
Yes. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
I got time.
No, session is 6:30, so we'll be at 2.
Yes, there's a chance we might not have it. Yes, he said we'd be excused.
Okay.
And they'll come and get us if they need it.
And yes, if they have a call.
If they have a call. Okay.
Okay.
Then we don't have to go in every day. Okay. So I'm not doing it. We got everything out.
Oh, we got a lot done.
Now, that one.
Are you going to 351?
Which one?
351. Are you going to 351?
Yes.
Yeah,
she was a melt, but we just passed it out.
Okay.
She had arrived. Saved the day.
Can you smell the devil?
Oh. No further business to come before this committee. We are adjourned.